Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio. I'm Darren Hefty along with my brother Brian. We're going to be talking about biological, or as we call them, natural products in agriculture on today's show. And we'll also be taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD or by email radio@agphd.com.
All right, so we are broadcasting from the Morton Studio today, and we will be talking biologicals and naturals throughout the show. But right now, we're going to get to the Ag PhD mailbag.
It's the mailbag!
All right, I like this first question. This one comes from Tom over in Wisconsin.
I like all our questions, Darren, but go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what I mean here. So this is Tom in Southwest Wisconsin, and he says, what rate of prowl, pendimethalin, and which variation of the product are you using in no-till or reduced-till soybeans? My CEC, and here's what I like. My CEC here is 10 to 15. And this is really important. And I know for probably 95% of folks, they don't normally think about, well, what's my CEC out there? And should I vary my rate a little bit on my soil residual herbicide? Heavier soils might often take a little bit higher. And also the other thing I'd love to know, Tom, is pH. Now, it doesn't make a huge difference on pendimethalin, but on some of the products that you're going to put out there, it does. Like, for example, if you're going to mix a metribuzin with it, that pH could make a huge difference, and you could possibly, on a higher pH, get by with a lower rate of product and still get great weed control. But with prowl, that's one, as the CEC gets a little higher, there's potential there that a little bit of that prowl could get tied up for a little longer, so the release rate wouldn't be quite as fast as on a lighter soil. Now, on a 10, for example, that for us, that would be pretty light ground on our farm. For other areas, that might be real heavy, but that's kind of a medium textured soil, medium to maybe even just a touch on the light side. So, yeah, you're going to get pretty good activity on that prowl.
Yeah, I was pulling up the label just so I could see exactly what that said for the different cation exchange capacity
As you're doing that, but, and as you talk about that, there are different forms of prowl. Pendimethalin's obviously been out for a long time, right. So there's generic versions out there.
Well, the 3.3 EC was the standard, and now there's the prowl H2O. Anyway, go ahead.
And so the Prowl H2O was kind of designed for this situation where it's going to lay on top of the ground in a no-till situation. For us, if we're doing it here, we want to do that early. And when you're north of Interstate 80, they would recommend, and on the label it's going to say you need to do that really early if you're going to do it.
Wait, stop. Don't say just really early. It just has to be before planting. That's all.
And the earlier you get it out there, the more chance you have to get some rain. And the biggest risk and the biggest concern I've got with prowl is just that if it's all laying very concentrated on the soil surface and you just haven't gotten much rain, but you've got seed in the ground, now as that seed comes through that thick layer of prowl, especially if you put it on after planting, that you could get some injury on the stems. We've seen that create a weak spot on the stem, and we've seen beans fall over. Now, it's not something that happens all the time. It would take just the wrong weather conditions for that to happen, but it can.
Okay. So, first of all, whenever you ask us, well, what are you doing in your farm? Well, literally, we're doing everything. So, I'll tell you what we prefer. So, for example, like this last year, because we had a great fall, we put all our prowl out in the fall. So that all got done last fall. We have high organic matter, greater than 3%, and a lot of what we would call fine soils or clay soils, in other words. So the rate on that for fall or pre-plant surface, pre-plant incorporated, that is going to be 3 pints to the acre. Okay. If you have lower organic matter levels, then we're talking medium textured soil, the maximum rate's 2.5 pints, and 1.5 pints if it's coarse. So in other words, for this particular case, for Tom, if we're talking CEC of 10 to 15, I'm probably going to say 2.5 pints. We prefer it worked in, you stir it around a little bit better, you get a little bit better weed control, it takes a little less moisture. You don't have to till it in, but that would be my preference. So anyway, the H2O is the more common formulation now because that's what BSF is selling. That's the name brand stuff. You have less staining with the Prowl H2O, but you could certainly run with the Prowl 3.3 EC as well. The rate is slightly different, and yeah, so we typically talk 3 pints of Prowl almost all the time in our area, and that's why I couldn't remember exactly what the label said with what's the exact number on organic matter and things like that. So again, in our region, we don't have to worry about that too much. We're really lucky. We're blessed with heavy soil, lots of organic matter, so we're really in pretty good shape. So with the 3.3 EC, the rate is more of a range. So when you take a look at it, it's going to tell you you can go 1.2 to 1.8 pints on that light soil, low organic matter. You can go 1.8 to 3 pints on the lights on the low organic matter medium soil. And on the fine or heavy clay soil, 2.4 to 3.6 pints, even when you have low organic matter. If you have high organic matter, 3.6 is the standard rate. So we always used to talk in that range of 3 to 3.6, but now with the Prowl H2O, we're usually talking just 3 pints to the acre in our region. And again, for you, Tom, use a little bit less.
All right, thanks for the question. Got this in from KM. What do I do with all the soybeans I have laying on the ground that didn't make it into the combine last year? I would like to plant soybeans in this field again this year.
You can.
Any recommendations you'd have?
Well, a lot of those soybeans aren't going to grow. They're going to rot. So I really, quite frankly, wouldn't even worry about it. And if you get some volunteer beans coming up, usually they're just as good as the beans you had out there. Now, it's a whole different if it's volunteer corn, because volunteer corn is not hybrid corn anymore. So that, if it comes up, it might still produce an ear and everything. It's just not going to be nearly as high yield. So what I'm saying is volunteer corn in a cornfield actually can drag your yield down. Volunteer soybeans in a soybean field usually don't hurt anything.
No, and if you really wanted to kill them, you could just alternate traits. If you had Xtend Flex beans, yep. Put Enlist beans out yep. there, or vice versa, and the 2,4-D or the dicamba that you would use would wipe out the volunteer ones from last year. Hey, thanks for the question, KM. Really appreciate that. We're going to talk about natural products on today's show. Stay tuned.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/Facebook.
The hard-working, independent spirit of rural America can often be isolating. It's not often discussed, but mental health issues are real. Now's the time to lead by example, talk openly, and show that a strong mind is just as important as a strong body. FMC is proud to be working toward ending the misconceptions around mental health through awareness, guidance, and action. Together, we can uproot the stigma.
Your farm's greatest challenge is making sure your crop has enough fertility to reach its yield goals. But how do you know if you're applying too much of any one nutrient? Fine-tune your fertility plan with Verify. Your combine collects hundreds of yield data points per acre. Verify takes that data and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, so you can be confident you're not over-applying. Get started today at verify.com. That's VRAFY.com.
Farmer Amaranth. 4 counts of yield theft, resistance to groups 2, 4, 9.
You ain't got nothing on me, man.
We've been surveilling you. And now we've got Tough 5EC, a tank mix partner that'll make sure you and your gang of resistant weeds never see the daylight again.
Crack down on repeat offenders. Add Tough 5EC to your post-emergence tank mix. Learn more at toughonweeds.com. Always read and follow label directions. Tough is a registered trademark of Belsham Crop Protection.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Broadcasting from the Morton Studio, talking about natural products on our show and taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD or by email radio@agphd.com. We've got Matthew Pye with us with FMC to talk about this a little bit. And Matthew, I know we've had you on before talking about naturals, but I still think it's interesting and we still get feedback from folks. Wow, FMC, I thought those were the authority folks. Yeah, they make Authority and Xyway and a bunch of great products, but they've also made a huge investment in biologicals and naturals. Talk to us a little bit about what you're working on.
Yeah, so thanks for having me, too. Yeah, happy to talk to you. So I'm working primarily this year on Zyronar and also Avodigen. We have a new product as well, a biological plus synthetic Ethos Elite. So those three are in my wheelhouse. But as you mentioned before, we're a synthetics company. We're really looking at how we can leverage both biologicals and synthetics together to help growers drive ROI.
Well, I love that combination in Ethos Elite. It's something unique in the marketplace, and we're getting a lot of questions about that one, too. Talk to us about that, how that all came together, and what's the purpose of putting a synthetic with a natural product?
Yeah, so we're definitely not the only ones out there who have it. It is a bit unique in that the biological and the synthetic are kind of doing two different things. So we have bifenthrin, the insecticide for your corn rootworm and wireworms. And then we have two strains in there that are both biofungicides with some biostimulant properties as well. And so they're helping take care of your early season diseases like Rhizoctonia, Fusarium, and Pythiums, and also giving you just kind of overall improved root structure and health. So it is a nice combination.
You know, a lot of folks would say, all right, how can you mix living things like that with a synthetic like that safely? Did you have to make major changes to the bifenthrin formulation to do that? Or is that something that, hey, this is an insecticide and we've got bacteria species here, there's really no impact?
There's not been much. And a lot of that comes down to the biology, the resting spore. It's common to a lot of bacilli. So that gives us a lot of tolerance with the biological. So we were able to take our liquid fertilizer ready kind of base formulation with bifenthrin in it and incorporate the biologicals in there. And they have excellent shelf life and durability in that formulation.
You mentioned Zyronar earlier, Matthew. Talk to us a little bit about that one. Where's the fit? Where are you seeing a lot of uptake on that product?
Yeah, so that one, we've had it out for a couple of years now. It's a biofungicide and a bionematicide, and really the bionematicide piece is what we emphasize. We shifted that one a little bit more into corn than the initial years, and so we've seen a lot of success in terms of yield and in areas impacted by nematode and even in areas where we didn't really think nematodes were a problem. So we're having quite a lot of success coupling that together with some of the synthetics that are on the market and even replacing a couple of them where the ROI makes more sense to use a biological than maybe a pricier synthetic.
Yeah, you talk about nematicide products, and I get a lot of feedback from growers just talking about the danger of handling some of those products. Having a natural that fits into that that space has got to be a huge advantage.
Yeah, and also, you know, avoiding you know, detrimental effect to say beneficials, because most of the nematicides on the market are generally harsher chemistries, a little less discriminate in what they attack. And so, yeah, some of the traditional products are dangerous to mammals as well, and you have to have extra precautions when handling them. Think about things like counter and how it has to be packaged, but even some of the other ones, potential impacts on beneficials.
Yeah, there are a lot of positives here with natural products. That's why this part of the market is really growing right now, and we're seeing big companies like FMC get involved. I've been talking with Matthew Pye here. Matthew, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We've got Nick Tinsley with us right now. He works with BASF, another big company that's made huge investments on this side, whether it's inoculants or other natural products out there. Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me this afternoon.
So when you look at this part of the market, it is growing quickly, and Matthew's just making the comment, a lot of folks are looking for ways to use the synthetics along with these natural-type products, and man, from seed treatments to in-crop uses, soil amendment-type products, there's lots of different naturals out there to look at.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, I think this is – I've been impressed with how fast growing this segment of the market is. Definitely the fastest growing area out there as growers look to push yields. And so, you know, BSF has been the largest supplier of biologicals in the marketplace for a few years now. And, you know, we're happy to help bring those solutions to growers who are looking to push yields. Absolutely.
Now, there are a lot of different products out there, and obviously BSF works with every crop out there. Are you seeing this grow the most in specialty crops or in large crops like corn, soybeans, wheat? Where are you seeing the big gains right now?
Yeah, I think really, you know, focusing in that corn and soybean area has been just a huge opportunity. If you think about the number of acres that are out there, you know, in corn, you know, Pancho Votivo, which definitely includes a biological component, has been the best-selling insecticide in corn, you know, for years now. And in the soybean area, we definitely can hold our own with our inoculant and biofungicide type products like Vault and Vault IP Plus.
Yeah, there are a lot of combos. And one thing that we were just talking about this morning, that it's kind of nice to be able to take multiple shots at this thing because, you know, as you travel across the field, there's varying soil conditions. And you mentioned nematodes. A lot of times they're in pockets in the field. They aren't evenly spread throughout the field. But in other areas of the field, there might be disease pressure or there could be some other bug out there that we're worried about. Having multiple ways to win in each of these products seems to be a good strategy.
Yeah, I tend to think about biologics as a way to improve yield consistency across the entire field, right? So you're exactly correct that you get these little pockets that may have these issues. And having biological products out there that can focus on things, you know, not just related to pest management, but sometimes it's about nutrient uptake and improved water uptake and water holding capacity of that soil zone right around the root system. Those are beneficial as well. And I think growers receive that benefit and just, you know, overall improved consistency when they go across the acre at harvest time.
I know products like Pancho Votivo, it's nice to have that on the seed. So you just know that protection is out there. It's going to grow with the plant. What are some things that farmers can do to improve survivability of these desirable naturals that we're putting out in the field?
Yeah, so I think your last guest did a great job of talking about some of the benefits of, you know, these are mostly bacillus type bacteria, and so they do form spores, and they're almost as stable as chemistry. And then once you put them out in the field, they germinate and they start to colonize that plant, and they really have everything they need to get off to a successful start. And I think one of the key points with these biologicals is this notion that they complement traditional chemistry. And I think that's why you see so many combination products. You have, at the same time that maybe chemistry over time is going to fade as that product kind of breaks down, these biologicals are ramping up as they, you know, colonize that root system and definitely almost increase their level of protection and benefit throughout the growing season.
Yeah, that is a great point. We think about what the half-life is on chemistry, and we think, oh, okay, I can rotate to another crop here in a week or 30 days or maybe a couple of months, something like that. We know that product is worn off, but with this living biology out there that's going to continue growing and oftentimes, especially depending on where we put it, it grow right around our plants to protect them and add just more time to that protection window. That's a great way to look at these products. We're talking with Nick Tinsley here with BASF. Nick, thank you so much. We really appreciate having you on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're talking about natural products or biological products, as some folks will call them, on our show today. And we're also taking your calls and questions. If you've got questions about naturals or just any agronomic topic, we'd be happy to help. It's 844-44-AG-PHD. You can also email us, radio@agphd.com, which is a great way to send a picture or send a soil sample or something that you're working on that we can talk about and look at together. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
Boarding, high yields incoming. Upgrading your planter with Germinator closing wheels can increase your corn yields by 13 bushels in no-till and 7 bushels in conventional. Are your bins ready? Call Farm Shop MFG at 712-520-6051.
Get more durability for less downtime with Soil Warrior Strip Tillage from Environmental Tillage Systems. Improve fertilizer efficiency and reduce passes and fuel usage. Now that's ROI. Learn more about ETS at soilwarrior.com.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor, and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. Hook up all the implements. Shift like a race car. Steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
Looking for a tractor that can do it all? Check out caseih.com.
On your farm, you spend thousands on fertilizer every season. But how do you know if any nutrient you apply is paying for itself? Build a fertility plan like never before with Verify. With Verify's soil point to yield analysis, you can automatically see the connection between your soil test and yield data to see which fertilizer dollars will make you money and which won't. Go to verify.com to get started today. That's VRAFY.com.
Get uniform control in your fields with trusted, hard-working Lucento fungicide. Control the toughest diseases with a dual mode of action fungicide that consistently outperforms the competition in field trials. Lucento fungicide from FMC works overtime for lasting control to help improve crop yields. Talk about getting the job done. Visit your FMC retailer or lucento.ag.fmc.com for hard-working control in your fields. Always read and follow all label directions.
Weeds rob you of yield potential, so rob them of the chance to grow with powerful corn herbicide solutions from Corteva Agriscience. Weeds won't know what hit them, but you will, because you can count on proven top herbicides like Resicor or SureStart 2 or the new game-changing herbicide Cairo to effectively control weeds. That way, you spend less time worrying about unwanted yield-robbing weeds and have more time to power on with your day. Learn more at PowerOverWeeds.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're talking about natural products on today's show, and certainly a lot of different product categories here that all go into the naturals. Got our friend Doug Phelps on right now with SipCam Agro to talk a little bit about this. How you doing, Doug?
I'm doing well, Darren. How are you today?
Good, good, good. I know you've been in this space for a long time, and you've gotten to work with just a ton of different crops in a lot of different areas around the world. Where do you like to focus on with naturals, and what are some things that growers should know?
Well, we like to think of the naturals as a mitigation tool, an agronomic tool to help reduce limiting factors on their farms. No two fields are the same, and even within a field, there is so much variability in some of the issues that they face. And when we are looking at these natural products as Mother Nature's, we're going to call them insurance policy against some of those negative impacts. So, if you've got high pH, high calcareous, low pH soils where nutrients are tying up, you can take a natural and add it to your nutrition to help keep that more available and better uptake within the plant. If it's a soil condition of too much sand or too heavy clay, drainage issues, that's where the humics can help open up the soils and provide some of the benefits there to improve drainage, get more moisture to the plant.
You mentioned humics, and there are certainly a lot of different products out there on the market. And of course, Doug, they're all making claims and comparing themselves to one another. But
yep.
How does a grower sort through that? I had a grower just yesterday. He had a whole book just of the naturals of products that he had talked to reps about this year. And he said, how on earth do I sort through this? There's like 10 humic products here.
Yep. Well, that's one of the things. And when we start to talk and get into that snake oil category, what I have found is that if you Google and if you go look at research, humic substances, humic and fulvic acids have been shown to do so many things. And I think that is mainly due to that's how Mother Nature, you know, intended it and created it. But the thing that the growers need to understand is they don't do every one of those things 100% of the time. And that's where some salespeople will get out and make outlandish claims and guarantees. But at the end of the day, growers need to think of these products as, once again, that you know, it's got to be affordable. It's an insurance policy to help mitigate limiting factors. And then most importantly, do research on your farm with that product to ensure that the performance that they're providing you is what you're getting out of it. You know, there's a lot of people that come in and humics do this. And here's a study that was done in 1952, you know, with a humic acid product and look what it did. Well, the question needs to be, well, are you using that source of material from 1952? Did you create your product using the same technologies and the same components as that product? Well, no, but this says that humic acids did this. Okay, well, we need to make sure that your product at your rate, at your application timing, and on my soils are going to have the benefits that you're telling me that they're going to have.
Yeah, I think verifying is a big, big deal. There's no question about that. And you mentioned humics. There are a lot of different things that folks talk about with those. And sorting through and seeing what kind of changes do I see out of my farm is a big deal. And then also just finding formulations that work. And that's one I know we've talked about this before, that some humics, you can't even get them out of the tank. So buying from a reputable company and getting a good product is a big deal.
That's the code. Hey, shake before you use them. Let's make sure we get all the good stuff up into solution, and a good quality humic should not have a goop of sludge sitting at the bottom of the jug. And that's just the manufacturer's lack of providing a good quality product to you.
Yeah, and it's nice to shake a 2.5 gallon jug, but we get a lot of stuff in 250 gallon shuttles, Doug, on our farm. I can't just shake those anymore. Or the I'll drive around in the pickup for a while and they'll shake around. That doesn't really work for me.
Well, let's say if your tote comes with a pump and a hose, that's not a good sign.
No, that's a good caution. You may be in for some trouble. Well, hey, Doug, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on once again. Doug Phelps here with SipCam Agro. Talk to you again down the road.
Thank you, Darren.
You bet.
All right, thank you.
We've got Gary with us right now up in Michigan with a question. How you doing, Gary?
Pretty good for an old guy.
All right. Well, so is Brian. Brian's doing pretty good here, too. He's our resident old guy, but I got a feeling you might have a couple of years on him yet.
I'm 77, so I might.
A few. What can we do for you today, Gary?
A few. All right. I bought me a farm, and I farm in central Michigan. I do pretty good down here. I bought me a little farm in the UP of Michigan, which is real heavy clay, and nobody up there does anything besides grow hay, and I'm trying to show up there that you can grow good crops, and I got a few years left to do it. I've got some going good anyway, but what I want to do now is I use your app that shows how much fertilizer removal goes on the crop.
Yep.
But I'd like to go, I got 4 more years to farm, I believe, so that's what my goal is.
Yep.
And right now I would like to go through and put 150 pounds of MAP and 200 pounds of potash.
Yep.
And 10 pounds of zinc and 20 pounds of manganese. That's not something give me. That's what I sort of figured myself. I want to put that on the whole farm and then go through and do the what each crop needs also.
Yep. Okay.
Is that a problem with anything there?
Most likely that is no problem. Without seeing soil tests, I'm guessing. But when you tell me it's heavy clay soil, I mean, that 150 pounds of MAP and 200 pounds of potash, honestly, our crop uses that every year. The 10 pounds of zinc and 20 pounds of manganese, your crop's not going to use that in 1 year, and even in 5 years, it's not going to use that. But we look at so many soil tests that are chronically low on zinc and manganese that I
have the soil test, and it shows that I am low on zinc and I'm low on manganese.
Yep.
I have a about a 12 CAC, but I have real, my organic matter runs around 7 to 8%.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. So, no, I'm not worried about that at all. You should be just fine.
Because like I say, I'm going to put the regular crop insurance, crop fertilizer on it. It recalls for, but this here is just to let it grow anything it can. It's not good. I don't want it to come short of anything.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's right. Yep. You want to just keep building that. So I guess my other questions obviously would be some of the other nutrients like copper and sulfur and things like that. And what you're telling me is you're going to do this.
Copper is high.
Oh, okay.
Iron is high.
Okay.
And
sulfur.
Okay. Sulfur is medium. Yep. 20 to 22.
Yep. Yep. Don't run yourself short on sulfur. That's been a big one here the last few years. A lot more people have been using more sulfur, and it's been helpful. But yeah, what you're talking about, the MAP, the potash, zinc, manganese, I got no problem with that. I'd probably do the same thing.
I've got the money to do it. Like I say, I figure I got 4 more years to show them what you can do up there.
All right. Well, hey, Gary, good luck with that.
I can't do it. Mostly what it is I'm growing is oats and barley, small grains, but okay. I did have corn and soybeans. And they tell me everything that don't work, I've showed them it does. I've tiled it, I've growed corn and soybeans, and they say you can't do either one of them. So I'm just having a lot of fun showing them what you can do.
Well, yeah, it sounds amazing. So, Gary, if you run into any more questions throughout the growing season, just give us a call. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it, and good luck to you up there.
All right, thank you very much. I watch your show and listen to it whenever I can.
So. Awesome. Well, great talking,
Gary,
with you, Gary.
Appreciate that.
Bye.
Yeah, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan is beautiful country, beautiful. But Gary's right. You don't see a lot more than hay fields up there, so that's kind of cool. I almost want to just drive up through there, find where Gary's farms are at, and just see what those crops look like. I know this, too. I was up in the Upper Peninsula one time, and I asked about deer hunting, and they said, nobody cares about the deer. There's no corn up here. They don't get very big. I'm a little nervous about Gary's corn up there. Hopefully all those deer, all those hungry deer in the UP don't take advantage. We're taking your calls and questions today at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back.
Morton Buildings has served the American farmer for more than 120 years. From manufacturing our own building components to constructing your building, Morton takes pride in being the industry leader in post-frame construction by providing a quality building and exceptional customer service. A Morton is built to last for generations. To get started on your next project, please visit MortonBuildings.com.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and STS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. This spring, take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a Heads Up seed treatment.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from farmer Rob Schaefer.
Residuals have become a big part of our chemical programs with trying to battle water hemp, and also mare's tail is our big one. It's done a real good job of controlling those. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gallons in your sprayer, cover a lot of acres that way.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Every season, you're collecting yield data on virtually every acre of your farm. But what good is your data if you never use it? Put it to work with Verify. Verify takes yield data directly from your combine and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, ensuring your crops get what they need, right where they need it, no matter what equipment you run. Go to verify.com to find an expert to help you get started. That's VRAFY.com.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Nothing but net. Win your soybean season with the fast knockdown and lasting broad-spectrum control of Elevest Insect Control from FMC. Take on army worms, stink bugs, soybean loopers, and more with the maximized ratio of premier active ingredients for better overall control of more than 40 labeled pests. Visit your FMC retailer or elevest.ag.fmc.com to up your game this season. Always read and follow all label directions.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Been talking about natural products here, but going to dive back into the Ag PhD mailbag. If you've got a question for us, you can email us, radio@agphd.com, or you can just give us a phone call, 844-44-AG-PHD. Got this one in from Zach. He said, I am a large gardener. That means about 1/10 of an acre. Obtaining boron in fertilizer isn't really realistic for a garden of my size. I'm just curious, what are some other ideas that you might have? How can I get some of these micronutrients when I don't even have a whole acre that I'm gardening on?
Well, keep in mind, most fertilizer retailers have product in bulk, and most of them don't really care if they sell 1 pound or not. I mean, my point is you can, in a lot of cases, just go to that retailer and say, yeah, I need a pound of fertilizer. I need 10 pounds of fertilizer. And you could probably buy it in bulk, get it in a pail, get in a bulk bag if it's a bunch, whatever. There's most likely a way to do that. So if it's me, I'm just calling around to some fertilizer retailers in my area and you're set. So for example, like in at my house even, I wanted some fertilizer, and it was the middle of the summer, so our farm didn't have any left over or anything like that. I just got some from a local co-op, no big deal, got whatever I wanted, and you can do the same thing, I'm going to guess.
Okay.
But
the other thing you can do is just go to Lawn and Garden Supply and look for a blended product. A lot of times with these micronutrients, yes, you find something that maybe you're going to only use half a gallon out there or something like that, and you have a jug that might last for 2 years for you. Well, no big deal. Buy a gallon jug, use a half gallon this year, and use the other half gallon next year. So fertilizer will keep. Most of the time, there isn't much concern with that.
Well, there is if it's dry. You might have some issues.
That's why I suggested liquid.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm trying to buy what I need, use it up, and I'm done. That's ideally the way to go, rather than having a bunch of fertilizer sitting around your place. So with boron, though, okay, when you ask, what can
here's
I do,
the other thing,
just
though, Brian,
you can't substitute. If you don't have boron, you have to get boron if you actually need it.
Here's the other thing you can do. Say you bought that gallon. Use the other half gallon on your lawn. I bet your lawn needs it, too. If the soil in your garden needs boron, I'm sure the soil
or
in
your
lawn
neighbor
does, too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Or find two or three gardens. I actually know folks that do that. They'll get together with others that have large gardens and say, okay, let's just buy together, and then we can split the jugs down if
yep.
we need to.
Yep. Otherwise, there are quite often landscaping companies that will go around your town and they fertilize people's lawns. You can talk to them. Maybe they would be willing to do it, fertilize it for you, and they'd have the product that you want. There are lots of options.
All right. Next question here we've got from Robert out in Colorado, and he sent us a few samples here. He's got flood irrigation and then soil sample tests here too. He's going to be raising corn this year, shooting for 225-250 bushel corn off these samples. Wants some recommendations on that, and he said just some background. He goes, I am moldboard plowing out here. 12 inches deep is our target. We can't really do our furrow or flood irrigation if we've got a lot of trash on the surface. So that's why we've been doing that. And he said, I'm changing up my program this year to liquid. I'm leaving out the anhydrous. I'm not going to be using the litter, which I guess we got a chicken litter sample there is what that top one must have been. He said, I'm leaving that out. I'm going to go 20 or 30 gallons of an 825-5. 0.5. He doesn't say what each of those extra ones are, but it sounds like it's sulfur and also boron. So he's doing all liquid, 20 or 30 gallons of an 825. And then he's side dressing with 28% with a little bit of boron in it. And he thinks that sulfur in the mix lowers the pH in his root zone. Yep. Curious what you think about that as well.
Correct.
And by looking at his tests and listening to us talk about the cation displacement test, do you feel he's a strong candidate for that too?
Yes, because I'll promise you, like in this one, he's got 12,580 parts per million of calcium. He has what we would call excess lime. So there is so much calcium, it's not even attached, it's not even all attaching to soil. There's so much. So you can flush that out with, and let me just step back and say the cation exchange capacity, according to this, now it's a different lab, so I'm not going to say this is 100% for sure the number, but they claim it's 65, which I'll promise you it's not. It's being overstated because it's a calculation rather than a hydrometer reading of what the actual cation exchange capacity is. So there's free calcium there, free lime, however you want to call it. How do you flush that out? Well, it's heavy soil. I mean, if I look through the rest of his tests, it's probably in the 20s, maybe 30 cation exchange capacity. So it's pretty heavy ground. You have tile out there, and you flush it out with sulfur over time. So use ammonium sulfate. Use elemental sulfur, something like that. But you want to make sure if you ever use elemental sulfur, you've got good drainage. So I just don't believe you have great drainage, and that's one of the things that's why that free calcium or free lime just keeps hanging around there. You need sulfur, and you need great drainage, and you can flush a bunch of that out. Now, when you're talking about going to this liquid program, I'm concerned, and here's why. Because all the phosphorus tests are very low. Now, I believe it's Malic 3 tests. Oh, wait. It says method phosphorus ppm. I'm not sure what that is. So I better not say for sure that it's low on phosphorus. But it appears like it's probably pretty low on phosphorus. So we're looking at a lot of 10 parts per million, 7 parts per million. And then on the potassium side, we've got, well, like in one, 138, 177 parts per million, 163 parts per million. In a heavy soil, that's probably not going to be enough. You're at 1% base saturation K, 2% base saturation K. So what I'm saying is I just want to make sure you're not cutting your P and K, because you need both P and K to raise a great crop, and it appears to me that you are very low on those. Now, beyond that, I see no tests here for micronutrients. So I would love to know how we're doing. Oh, I'll take that back. I got some of them, a couple of them, where I've got tests on micronutrients. So zinc, 3 parts per million, iron, 20, manganese, 4, and copper, 2. Those are DTPA tests. So anyway, not horrific, but if it's me, I'm working on trying to bump the zinc a little bit in some of these. I'm working on trying to bump the copper a little bit. So, I got a few things that I'm going to be working on. I'll put it that way. Was there anything else there, Darren? Anything else you wanted to know?
I think that pretty much covers it. But if you've got any more questions, Robert, go ahead and send those in. It was kind of a long email. I tried to summarize as best I could.
Okay, but you did say, I mean, one of the key things was he asked about the Kinsey test and the cation displacement test. Yes. Anywhere where you're running above, let's call it 5,000 or 6,000 parts per million on calcium, for sure you should be running that cation displacement test with Kinsey. At least try one spot. So send a test into your normal lab, send a test into Kinsey, basically split the sample, and then you can really compare and see. And hopefully that will show you something. And if you want to send us those tests as well, we'd be more than happy to look at them.
Okay, get this one in from Brent. Speaking about Neil Kinsey's test, Brent sent tests in to Neil, but he's just kind of summarizing them in this email. So I'll give you some base saturation percentages here, Brian, for Brent. He said our CEC is 7, and our calcium is 70 to 75%, magnesium 13%, potassium is 2%, and sodium is 4 to 5%. Now, our sodium is high due to irrigation water, and I'm using gypsum to help flush out the high sodium. But I'm curious about potassium. Neil recommends potassium sulfate in these instances, but the cost is twice as much or almost twice as much as potassium chloride. Yep. Can I just use potassium chloride?
Yes. Yes, you can. Now, what I would say, because what we always tell everybody is try things out on your own farm. So I'd try out some potassium sulfate. I'd compare it to the potassium chloride. The odds are you're going to get just as much yield with the potassium chloride. But here's the concern. When we're talking potassium chloride, you've already got all this sodium out there. Well, sodium together with chloride, that's sodium chloride. That's table salt. That's not great. So if I'm going to put the potassium chloride out, I'm going to do it right after I harvest in the fall, like literally get out there as quick as you can. So then you've got lots of time for some of that chloride and salt to flush out of your soil and make sure you have good drainage in your field. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from agronomy manager Nate Honeck.
We've seen tremendous weed control that was sprayed in dry, hot conditions with very little rain within 2 weeks after application. Very easy application. Definitely tank mix well with the various products we used.
Visit valent.com/maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
If you look close enough, you can see the hidden potential within your fields. That's why an agro-liquid nutrition plan starts with the crop and identifies the precise combination of primary nutrients while focusing on the support of secondary and micronutrients. So every nutrient is working in harmony for your crop to reach its full potential, maximizing growth while offering lower use rates. Apply less, expect more, precisely. Find an AgroLiquid dealer at agroliquid.com.
Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications, all without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
Save plenty of green on select John Deere compact utility tractors during the Go Green Save Green event at C&B. Payments start as low as $253 per month. Visit DeereEquipment.com. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
From machine storage buildings and farm shops to dependable buildings to house your livestock, regardless of building size or use, Morton has a building for every budget. To learn how we can help you expand your farm operation, visit MortonBuildings.com.
Want a product that will give you nitrogen all season long? Then you want to try Envita. Envita gets directly into the cells of the plants, and it's easy to apply, foliar or in furrow. Envita provides the flexibility you need for your farm practices. Whether you want to reduce your nitrogen and maintain yield, or maintain your nitrogen and increase yield, Envita fits your farm. Envita SC formulation is OMRI registered. To learn more about Envita, visit azotic.com. That's AZOTIC.com.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Brian Hefty, along with my brother Darren. We are live in the Morton studio today. We were talking about biologicals and natural products earlier in the show, but right now we're in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag. If you've got a question for us, just send us an email, radio@agphd.com. That's what Doug did. He's from Illinois. He says, guys, my supplier tells me I can apply full rates of two Group 15s as long as they are not exactly the same brand or chemistry. Is that true? Doug, there are some things you can do that aren't illegal, but they aren't wise. So, and for everybody listening out there, by Group 15s, what we're talking about here is, for example, in corn, Harness, Surpass, Outlook, Dual, Zidua. Those are all the straight Group 15s. In soybeans, we would be talking Warrant, Outlook, Dual, and Zidua. So I don't know what crop we're talking about here. I'm going to assume corn. We don't want you applying full rates of two Group 15s at the same time in corn. Now, let's put it this way. We did a bunch of herbicide spraying last fall. We probably sprayed 80% of all our acres last fall, got all the pre's done. It was awesome. So now this spring, it's like, okay, what should I be telling our guys to do? Because we've got most of the work done already. But anyway, it's a nice feeling. Okay, the products aren't going to last forever. Now, granted, we're going to plant early, or hopefully we will plant early. And so I'm not too worried about losing them soon. But by the time I get to June 1st, could I add a bunch more Group 15? Because a lot of the early stuff had run out? Yes. So in that case, I would be fine with using basically doubling up on Group 15s. But again, it's not at the same time. So if your supplier is telling you you can literally take a full rate of, just as an example, Outlook, plus a full rate of Dual right now and put it on your corn, no way. That could be hard on the corn. That's not wise. So don't do that. Put out a full rate of a Group 15 now. If you want to do more, go ahead and come back later, 45 or 60 days from now. Add more if you want.
All right. Thanks for the question. You got this one that came in from Josh out in North Central Oregon. He said, I've never pulled a test for chlorides before. My results were 3 to 8 parts per million on a 6-inch test. I'm in winter wheat here. I'm just curious, what should I shoot for, or is that a good number? My average yields are 70 to 80 bushel.
Here's the challenge. Every lab tests things a little bit different. So at your lab, I don't know. That might be okay. A lot of times we figure with the lab we use, we want to be at least 25 parts per million. But, you know, we're raising corn and soybeans and some small grain too. I guess I'm not super comfortable telling you, oh, for sure you have to get to 25. But honestly, if it's me, I would have to guess that that's low. Now, the good news here is the odds are pretty high that you need more potassium anyway. I'd say 98% of all soil tests that come in here, it's probably better than 99% even, we see where more potassium would actually help rather than hurt. So just put some potash out there. Remember, potash is about 45% chloride. So you'd solve your problem real fast with nice available chloride if you just put out some potash.
All right. Thanks for the question. Got this one from Dennis about his lawn. And he said, last year I put tree fertilizer spikes down around my trees. And what a beautiful 12-foot circle of grass I have, or 12-inch circle of grass I have where I put those spikes out there. Obviously not going to put spikes out every 12 inches on my entire lawn.
Well, why not?
But I'm curious, do you have any ideas how I could get P and K down into the soil of my lawn? Of course, I don't want to do tillage. I would prefer to use liquid fertilizer, but any ideas you guys might have?
Yeah, overload it. So back, this is a few months ago, we had Bill Brush on. He's a tree fertility expert. I mean, just fertility expert in general out in California. And I asked him that very question. I said, Bill, what do you do with the shelter, or I shouldn't say shelter belts, the orchards out there where you're not obviously going to do tillage? How do you get the phosphorus down in the ground? And don't quote me on this, but I believe the number that he said was we wanted to get the parts per million above 200. Now, I'm not sure exactly what test that was. I have to assume it was Kinsey's test. But that was a lot of phosphorus. So, but he said, hey, once we get up above a certain level, now we find that it'll move down in the soil. The same thing was told to me in a little different way. Out on the East Coast many years ago, I was out in Maryland, and I was talking soils and everything, and I said, yeah, phosphorus isn't leachable. And one of the guys comes up and he goes, well, we're having problems with phosphorus being leachable. And I go, wait a second here. How high a level are we talking? Now, I don't want to incriminate that person, but I'll just put it this way. It was many, many times higher than what we would normally have phosphorus on our farm. Okay, so if you overload a nutrient that doesn't normally move in the soil, it's probably going to move. So that's the other way to do it. But, I mean, honestly, if you don't want to spend a fortune, of course, if it's a lawn, how much can you possibly spend anyway? You spend 5 times the amount on fertilizer on a per acre basis that I do, you might have a grand total of $50 more on your lawn. So it's not the end of the world. So it's either overload it on P and K or use the spikes. Now, here's the thing too, is I don't want anyone with a lawn thinking, well, Brian said I should just put on way more P&K than I need. Where does that P&K go if it doesn't go down in your lawn? If you have any slope at all or any flooding at all that goes through your area, where does that P&K go? It probably washes out onto the street, probably goes down into the storm sewer, and that probably goes directly into the river and pollutes our water. So that's where the spike, and I know you're going to say, well, you already said, I don't want to do this in my whole lawn. Honestly, that's the environmentally friendly way to do it. I hate to tell you. Or you get some type of coulter system like we would use on the farm, and you inject it down into the ground. So you got to somehow get it down there, because if it's laying on the soil surface and it has the chance at all to wash away, it's probably going to contaminate somebody's water.
All right, thanks for the question. I got a herbicide question for you here, Brian. This one comes in from David. He said, I'm trying to choose which is best for heavy water hemp in river bottom ground.
Ooh, this sounds like fun. What crop?
I've been using Halex GT and Status with good success. I've been asked to try Acuron GT instead this year. What do you think of that?
Nope. Okay, so here's what Acuron GT is. It's two HPPDs. It is glyphosate, and then it's the active ingredient from Dual. So when you start talking about those active ingredients, look, your water hemp's probably glyphosate resistant. We are having some issues with HPPD resistance or tolerance. And is Dual by itself at a potentially reduced rate going to be great on water hemp? Well, it's going to have some residual, but it's by no means great. Whereas on the other hand, Status is amazing. So Status is the best product I've ever seen in my entire life on water hemp. Don't cut that out of your program if you've got heavy water hemp pressure. Now, I would say this. I'm all for split applying. So when you tell me, oh, I'm going Halex GT and Status, that sounds to me like you're trying to get by with one shot. I don't like that. So if it's me, I'm putting down a pre, then I'm spraying the Status later. So now I have two shots on stuff. So if it's me, that's how I would do it. But please, if you got heavy water hemp pressure, do not cut the Status out of the program. Of course, if you want to try it, try just a little bit with the Acuron GT. So Darren was telling the story the other day where when we were kids, we had this 80-acre field that had a lot of velvet leaf pressure. So our dad used Command, and he left a little check spot. And it was so solid velvet leaf. It was unbelievable. And, of course, he wasn't taking care of the problem. It was Darren and me who had to go take care of the problem and pull and pull and pull weeds. We're like, Dad, my gosh, what are you doing here? If you want to leave a little sliver of a check strip, fine, but don't do that. So my point is, if you want to leave a little sliver of a check strip where you used some Acuron GT, fine, but I'd be spraying Status on 99.9% of the field to make absolutely sure that I got everything under control. One other real quick thing. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he goes, well, I want to be sure that this kills the weeds. And he goes, no, wait a second. I want to be absolutely sure this kills the weeds. Well, if you want to be absolutely sure, you don't ever cut Status from the program in heavy water hemp areas.
All right, good luck with those weeds, David. Appreciate the question. And thanks to you for listening today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.